Tensions with Iraq have raised the question of how much oil is a factor in whether the U.S. goes to war. The United States imports about half the oil it uses, and that amount is expected to rise. Middle Eastern countries remain the biggest suppliers. Iraq is among the top 10 exporters. What happens to Iraq's oil may be decided by war, but the importance of Iraqi oil is largely determined by the world oil market, which operates by its own rules. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports.
In the old days, oil came mainly from Texas. The Texas oil man, big, brassy, a fat cigar in his hand, became an industry icon.
We are the men of Texaco.
So did the Texas Star.
We wear the Texaco Star.
Along with the state's name.
We like to think of Texaco. We've got everything for your car.
By the time that advertisement was made, though, foreign producers, especially in the Middle East, had begun to encroach. And in 1959, at a yacht club in Cairo, foreign oil executives secretly agreed to collaborate in what eventually became OPEC. Texas was not invited into the club. For the consumer, though, oil had no patrimony.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
Americans were encouraged to fill her up and see the country on four wheels. Oil remained cheap and plentiful.
So make a date today to see the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
The OPEC oil embargoes and price hikes of the 1970s changed that attitude, at least temporarily. In 1980, the real price of a barrel reached $67. The price has come back down into the $25 to $30 range. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries still sets quotas for its member countries, but some of them cheat and sell more than they're supposed to, which drives prices down. And oil companies are drilling big new reservoirs beyond the cartel's holdings, in the deep ocean, in Russia and Mexico, and in the Caspian Sea. That makes it difficult for any one country, with the possible exception of Saudi Arabia, to have much influence. As economist George Perry of the Brookings Institution points out, it's one big market.
The way to think about the world oil market is that producers put oil out onto the world market and consumers buy off of that world market. You can think of it as a big bathtub that gets filled at one end and drained at the other end.
But some countries sell enough oil to influence the world price. Iraq, for instance. When the United Nations allowed Iraq to sell oil again in the mid-1990s, it quadrupled its exports over 4 years. OPEC couldn't restrain all the other members from selling, and an oil glut followed. Gasoline in the U.S. sold for less than a dollar a gallon. Iraq's exports have fallen again to the point where, if there's a war or a coup, its exports probably wouldn't be missed. And Saudi Arabia, if it so chooses, could simply export more oil to make up the difference. Eventually, a new Iraqi government would rebuild its oil business, which has fallen into disrepair. Who would profit, and how long would it take? Ask an economist, like MIT oil analyst Michael Lynch, and you get an economist's answer. It depends.
I mean, if a democratic government can't get its act together, and they spend all their time fighting over whether the provinces get the money or the central government and so forth, then it could take a long time for anything to happen.
Lynch and other economists say it's doubtful that many U.S. companies would rush in to help. The country would remain a risky place to invest. Moreover, Iraq is part of OPEC. No matter who's investing in Iraqi wells, Iraq must get permission to bump up its export quota.
They're going to go to OPEC and say, look, all the damage, all the suffering we've had under that previous government, we need to produce more oil and have more oil revenue to fix things. In the case of Iraq, the problem is OPEC is going to say, well, we would like you to have more money, but none of us is exactly wealthy. Look at Venezuela, Nigeria, Algeria, even Iran. So nobody's going to want to just walk in and hand them a bigger quota.
So, if Iraq's contribution to the world oil market isn't that significant, would a war there really be about oil? Well, says Anthony Cordesman, it's not just about Iraq, it's about the whole region. Cordesman has held senior positions at the Departments of Defense, State, and Energy, and is now a political analyst at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
More than 60% of what we know to be the world's oil reserves are in the Gulf and around Iraq. The entire global economy does indeed require a steady flow of oil exports. The acquisition of nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons in this area under a dictator with Saddam Hussein's track record could have a devastating impact on the global economy.
Cordesman cites government numbers that predict U.S. dependence on oil imports will more than double in the next 20 years, even allowing for more conservation and alternative fuels. And other countries that sell goods to America and buy what Americans make, China, for example, they also depend on cheap, plentiful Middle Eastern oil.
The security and stability of the Gulf and the Middle East is absolutely critical to our strategic interests. America lives, in spite of all of its power, in an interdependent world. The days when we could be independent in any significant way, whether it's in oil or steel, or even areas like information technology, are simply over.
Economists acknowledge that the big oil consumers do have some clout. After all, those who hold the oil can't eat it. Without buyers, their economies would collapse. But as long as cars and ships and factories run on oil, there will always be buyers. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Washington.